We're very, very close to a quorum, but we'll begin.
I'll be on your left.
In the interest of time, so Representative Abler, welcome to the Higher Education Committee. And I'll place before, well, we won't do anything until a quorum is established, I guess, but you want to begin by describing
the bill? Well, I do, Mr. Chair, and I have my own committee going on, so I appreciate you putting me first. The success of the Anoka STEP program, secondary education program, has been much touted over the last, how long has it been? 10 years, decade. And it really has served a niche, which has been very successful. It came out of the district and the county and the legislature, and it's achieved every goal that people would have wanted to achieve. Part of the dream of the district, Superintendent Mr. Carlson, is it Dr. Carlson? Anyway, Dr. Carlson, and those of us who care about this, is to help these kids get a leg up on their college, and hopefully, even if we get lucky, get them a 2 years of college in their high school program, because some of these kids are never going to make the leap. And so that's the idea of this bill, is to get credit for their time there that's actually bona fide credit that they can spend toward a degree that will actually better them and make them encouraged to go on. And so that's my short thoughts. My superintendent and the director of the STEP program have some more thoughts about this. And
Representative Abler, before we proceed, we'd like to officially call the meeting of the Higher Education Policy and Finance Committee to order. We do have a quorum now. I'd like someone quickly to glance through the minutes. Representative Benson has done a very fast job of looking at the minutes, thorough. Any comments, questions, corrections? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes adopted from March the 6th. Okay. Now, Mr. Carlson, are you next?
I am.
But we got to move the bill. Let's do that at this time. And as chair, I'll do that. House file 2268, and that would be held over. I guess the motion would be to hold it over for possible inclusion. Again, good to see you, Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair, likewise, good to be here in front of you again. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Denny Carlson. I'm superintendent of the Anoka-Hennepin School District. The Anoka-Hennepin School District has the lowest per capita income in the 7-county metro area. We are also the hardest hit in unemployment and home foreclosures. 1 in 4 of our adults have a college degree. The education level of our students and families has a significant impact on unemployment and foreclosures in our local communities. So it is essential that our 3,000 students that we graduate every year have as much support from us as we can give them. To support our students and families, we need to have a whole state educational system aligned that ensures our students can be as successful as possible. Many of our students are graduating with college credit, and some have as much as 1 or 2 years of college by graduation from high school. A few have graduated with 2 full years, and one student I met had an associate degree. Our high school students earn over 2,000 college credits a year. Our families do not have large amounts of money saved up for their children's college funds. They simply can't afford to do it in this economy. When 75, and I hear as much as 85% of our workforce needs post-secondary education, we must do everything possible to make this a seamless transition from high school to college. Our technical colleges need to offer college credit in addition to its certificate and credentialed programs. Our students cannot afford to come back to college after spending 2 years in a technical college and pay for 4 more years to get a college degree if they need or want a job change. For all of these reasons, we support Representative Abler's bill. Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'll also introduce Jessica Lipa, who's our Director of Career and Technical Education and runs the STEP program.
Okay. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Identify
yourself again for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Jessica Lipa, and I'm the Director of the Secondary Technical Education Program in the Anoka-Hennepin School District. Students who attend STEP are more likely to attend a post-secondary institution because of their experience in a high-rigor program. We have found that students who initially had no plans to continue education beyond high school have earned higher grade point averages, earned college credit, and gain confidence to continue in a post-secondary institution. STEP serves a diverse group of students, often first-generation college students, who had typically not been successful in the traditional school environment. STEP has allowed these students to experience high-level, advanced coursework that allows them to save time and tuition costs in post-secondary institutions that have granted this credit. STEP students are engaged in high-level learning that is in-depth and is relevant to business and industry. This school year, STEP will serve over 1,600 students who are dedicated, engaged, and will likely go on to post-secondary education because of their experiences. All of the programs and courses at STEP offer college credit, and these courses are designed through a collaborative effort between high school and college faculty to meet the same high expectations of the course. In fact, approximately 65% of STEP students will earn college credits that could potentially be transferred into a MNSCU institution. Strengthening the transition from secondary to post-secondary education is one of the most efficient ways that we can assure that our students have successful completion and post-secondary success. Programs like STEP are successful because they encourage students to engage in a seamless pathway towards post-secondary degree or credentials. They're less likely to drop out of high school and will continue on with confidence and engagement. And because of these reasons, we would greatly support Representative Abler's bill to benefit students in transferring into post-secondary institutions.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Representative Norton.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm a little confused, so I'm looking for some clarification. In K-12 policy and in higher ed here throughout the years, we've talked a lot about these types of programs, and it's been my understanding that there are many schools who have relationships with the MNSCU institutions, and that there's certainly the college in the school program, as well as other programs already in place where students are getting college, MNSCU, and University of Minnesota credit while they're in high school. So I guess I'm a little confused as to why we're talking about one specific program and why your program isn't getting credit if others are. So before I go on, could somebody explain?
Mr. Carlson, or who wants to respond?
I will. Thank you. A lot of our students, we have relationships with many colleges, and many of the MNSCU institutions will choose not to accept them depending on the types of credit that they're receiving. So it just depends on the program area, but many of the MNSCU institutions deny the credit.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Norton.
And that makes sense to me. There are a couple things that come to mind. One is because there are many successful relationships throughout the state. The reason those have become successful is because of the relationship between the university and the school, which it looks like you're working toward, mm-hmm. but it's also the scrutiny with which the classes are taught to make sure that they measure up to the level that's happening in the college, so that you are in fact getting college level courses at the same time you're in high school, so that you can get that dual concurrent enrollment. And so I'm going to come back to this question: why is the ANOCA program, STEP program, not having that same success with this concurrent enrollment that you need to be called out separately?
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Norton, I think my frustration is just the pace at which we're moving. We're getting there, we're making progress, but meanwhile, we have kids graduating that aren't going to have these opportunities, they're going to have credits that don't transfer, and so we're working on it, but it's just going slowly, and in my estimation, too slowly. That's why I appreciate Representative Abler's bill.
Representative
Mr.
Norton.
Chair, and I'm sympathetic. I do think, though, as a member of the Higher Ed Committee and K-12, that perhaps we're moving too slow, and bringing it here and having this discussion is going to help move things more quickly. I think that's a great outcome. But I think we also need to be careful that when we do give college credit to a student in high school, that in fact that course is measured and is meeting the rigor of the college level course. And so that, you know, that's why these concurrent enrollment, college in the schools, and other relationships are so important. And I'm a little hesitant to have the legislature push us too far if that rigor hasn't been met and that relationship hasn't been established. So I'm very sympathetic to what's happening. I guess I like a broader policy rather than a specific called out one here. And then I guess my other question would be, are there other districts having the same problem you are, or is because you're such a large district with so many students enrolled, is it a particular problem for you?
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Norton, let me do at least one and then Jess can do the other one. But I think in terms of the technical college, when you look at something like English and technical writing, in my view, there's no reason they shouldn't be getting college credit for that. My understanding of technical writing is that the rigor to that is perhaps stronger than the other one, you know, the regular community college course that you're getting college credit for. So it just seems to me we should get on with it. We know this is best for kids. The rigor, no one is going to deny that the rigor should be there for college credit. But we could align this, I think, more rapidly than we're currently doing. And then in terms of the rest of the districts, Jess Lipa could answer that.
Thank you, Representative Norton, Mr. Chair. Absolutely, this other districts in the state are experiencing the same frustrations that we are. Students are required to pass the same assessments. They're required to earn a minimum grade, all set up to the college's standards. And I know that other school districts in the state are experiencing some of the same frustrations in the transferability and the acceptance of credits. This is a statewide concern that we have.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just ask one follow-up request then, that before I'm too anxious to move ahead too quickly with this, I would like to hear from MNSCU, and hopefully they will give some insight as to why it's taking so long and why they haven't yet given credit to everyone. So I hope we have that testimony before we take a vote.
We'll invite them down in a couple of minutes, perhaps, if they're willing and interested. Representative Poppy, did you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifiers, are you saying that students do not transfer any credit, or they transfer just what exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about transferring or not being able to transfer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can I get your pronunciation of your last name again?
Lipa.
Lipa? Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Not all of the credits. Some of the credits will transfer. Not all of the credits will transfer to MNSCU institutions. It depends on the program area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier. And is that because you're talking about technical credit versus general education credit? And so it's the institution that's receiving it that's determining. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair.
Correct.
And how is the relationship between these students and the credits they're earning with public or with private colleges and private universities?
Sleeper.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Quite frankly, the many of the private schools will accept the credits. And I will say that in many of the cases, you know, the enrollment is they need the enrollment, and so, but they usually accept some of the credits and will accept them towards electives, or they'll accept them in their specific program. It depends on the institution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so the total number of credits would be accepted by a private college. So, and is that impacting then at all their completion of if it's 120 credits that they need for a four-year degree? Are you saying that they would complete 60 credits and the freshman and sophomore years of the education is taken care of, or what exactly are you saying with that?
Ms. Lipa?
Mr. Chair, thank you. No. Sometimes it's maybe just 3 credits. And so let me explain. If the student earns some of the credits through either concurrent enrollment or tech prep credit at STEP, they will, many of the times, some of the credits will transfer into the private institution for their, you know, freshman or sophomore year of college.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just again, a clarification then. So do the credits actually transfer, or they transfer but they're no good in whatever college they're going to?
Ms. Lipa?
Mr. Chair, yes, and yes, in both cases. It depends on the receiving college for any both of those questions. Sometimes they transfer, and sometimes they transfer but are no good, or they'll be used towards elective credits. It always depends on that receiving institution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson, can you explain the process of how you applied to MNSCU for this accreditation and the status of exactly where you are and what their response has been?
Mr. Carlson or Ms.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Ms. Lipa.
The process by which we have, how we apply is we go through a process with each of the individual colleges, and we go through, it's usually the faculty members and the staff members, and they go through the approval process to approve whether or not our teachers meet the criteria. They approve the syllabus and the course outcomes to make sure that we're meeting certain objectives, the assessment, and it's an individual relationship with many of the colleges.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pulaski.
What's the response been?
Sleeper.
It depends on the college. And many of the times, quite frankly, it's oftentimes highly scrutinized, and it starts off as a good relationship, and then the college has backed off and said no, and has not accepted the credits.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, I think I'll wait for Minsky.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay. Representative Morrow.
No, I agree.
Oh, okay. You're disagreeing.
I want to bring Minsky down, if you like. And
okay, maybe they should start coming down. But Representative Rukavina has a question, I guess.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, and Representative Abler, Superintendent, Ms. Lipa. You know, up north we have this Applied Learning Initiative, and I think, Mr. Chair, you're aware of it. And we, did it to kind of get technical education again in our high schools and worked with our different community colleges, and we have 14 school districts and 18 high schools working with Mesabi Community College, Technical College, Hibbing, Vermilion, Itasca, Rainy River, and we don't have any problems. We reached an agreement between the teaching in the high school, and then they could either take classes in the high school or at the technical community colleges, and there's been no problem. So I really don't understand what's going on here, unless this is specifically a high school program that you want to make a college program. Or I can't understand why it wouldn't be as easy as... But I mean, I will say this. It took us a little while to iron out the differences between the Education Minnesota and the teachers in the high school and the community college teachers and the curriculum itself. But once that agreement was reached, we've had no problem in those credits being accepted and transferred. So I'm kind of curious.
I think
to hear what's going on here.
Maybe Minsky can answer some of the questions if you want to come down and. I don't know who wants to start, but please identify yourself.
I'll start if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair and fellow committee members. My name is Karen Hynek, and I work for the Minnesota State College and University System. I'm the System Director of College Transitions. And in response to a few of the questions that have been brought forth, I think it's important, as many of the members here know, there is a difference between concurrent enrollment courses, which are the college-level course being taught by the high school instructor mentored by a college faculty member where the course is transcripted, versus a technical prep articulation agreement. And a tech prep articulation agreement is where the course is a high school course taught by a high school instructor, where it can be that one high school and one college partner together in an articulation agreement that students, when they come to the college, receive the credit. Or it can be multiple high schools and one college, or it can be one high school and multiple colleges. And it sounds to me like part of what we're talking about is a tech prep agreement. So the Minsky system has no issue with the proposal by Mr. Abler, but we do believe we already have a process in place, which is through our articulated high school credit program under our current policy of undergraduate credit transfer, which would allow students to transfer based on an articulation agreement between the high school and the college.
Representative Pulaski.
So, I hope I heard this correctly, Ms. Hynek. Then you have no problem with the bill if it's signed into law?
I don't think we have any opposition to the bill at this point in time.
So, Mr. Chair, Ms. Hynek, this is the way you would prefer to have us form these agreements? We'll all put bills in, and
I think we would prefer that that's not the case. I think we believe that it's an existing, we have existing policy that already exists, that we may not necessarily need a bill for that piece. But I think the idea of having articulated credits from high school to college, there's no issue with that. We currently have policy and practice in place that's existing all across our state. If you look at a program like Project Lead the Way, Project Lead the Way is a tech prep agreement. It's a national curriculum. Many of our high schools are teaching that curriculum. It's the high school instructor teaching it, and it articulates to the colleges. And many colleges determine which course it's a course equivalency for, dependent upon whether the college offers a similar course. And it also depends on what academic program the student is trying to graduate from, as to whether the course counts as an elective course or as a required course.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Heinig. So then, if we pass the bill, you're okay with it, and the credits would count. If we don't, how fast will MNSCU move on this tech prep agreement?
Ms. Heinig.
I believe the tech prep agreement would be between Anoka Technical College, and the MNSCU system would certainly support Anoka Technical College's conversations with Anoka Hennepin School District to try to assist them in where the credit issues tend to be.
Perhaps, if I could just also comment, for the record, I'm Leslie Mercer. I also work in academic affairs at the Minnesota State College and Universities. Mr. Chair, I'm Representative Pawlowski. I believe that what we're saying here with regard to this is that if you look on lines 110 through 113, we believe that we already have a process in place to evaluate how those credits are awarded to students. And so I think that what the bill would do would be to add us reporting back to you on what we do, which we could do without you telling us to do that in a bill. I think what Dr. Heinig is trying to say is that we do have a process, and I think the important distinction here is the one that she started with, that these are not PSEO or concurrent enrollment courses. These are high school courses in technical education that often have components of them that do directly articulate and can be used in a post-secondary technical course. But it's not an automatic thing that they do. For some courses they do, and for some they don't. In part because sometimes, I'll just try to use Anoka as an example. At Anoka, perhaps in the STEP program, a course has been articulated with the faculty at the technical college, and it fits with the way they teach, let's say, auto body. I don't know if that's even real, but I'm just making this up. But, for example, if they went to a different technical college, perhaps the sequence of the courses or what's taught in different times, or maybe one of them is taught for Toyota and another one's taught for Chevrolet or something like that, they may not work. And so that's why we do this on an agreement that's between the two institutions and the faculty that really understand the curriculum in those two institutions. So it's a little different than a general education Minnesota transfer curriculum course taught in a high school in concurrent enrollment, mm-hmm. but it is a college level course. So I think that's part of the distinction here.
No. I just want to remind members we have two more bills we'd hope to get through today, so you can continue asking questions, but make them easy.
I'll try to avoid the trick questions, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Ms. Mercer, so we adopt the bill, it becomes law, it only codifies what you're already doing, so we're no closer to getting those credits approved. Is that a correct statement?
I would say that we'll continue to be looking at those as we do now, and that some of them will transfer, and my guess is that some of them at some institutions might not, because again, they're not college level courses. They're high school courses that have components in them that that can be, with an agreement, articulated between the two. We're very supportive of technical education. Mm-hmm. We want this to work, but we also want to make sure that the students have the correct information and our understanding and knowledge when they come into the post-secondary course so that they can be successful there.
Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to understand. If mm-hmm. this becomes law and it only codifies what you're already doing, I wonder why we're codifying something you're already doing that apparently doesn't work. You don't need to answer that, but it might be helpful.
Closing statement? President Morrow is waiting patiently.
I know he is. Yeah, I do. Is this a fiscal or policy supplemental bill, Mr. Chair? I'm still waiting for that answer.
Give me a time to think about that.
Okay,
Representative
good.
Morrow?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Chair, I think Representative Pawlowski, the second sentence they've agreed to is what they're already doing. And I did hear they say they would agree to the bill. I know I don't want to put thoughts in your mouth. this is obviously not the way to be making these decisions through legislation. Mm-hmm. I would hope that Minskew doesn't want this to happen through legislation. Mm-hmm. But I have a question, if I may, Mr. Chair, for Superintendent Carlson. Superintendent Carlson, how long has it taken to hear back from Anoka Technical College?
I'll ask Mr. Carlson.
Ms. Lipa,
Ms. Lipa?
How long, pardon me, Mr. Chair, how long does it take to hear back from?
Representative Morrow.
Mr. Chair, how long have you been involved in this process to get a definitive answer?
Ms. Lipa?
Mr. Chair, a couple of years. Okay. Sometimes this process will take a year or more or several years in the works. It's a very long process.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hynek, how long is a reasonable amount of time for them to expect to hear from an individual institution?
Usually with tech prep agreements, it is an agreement between the faculty of the college and the high school faculty. So they do spend time norming the assessments. They spend time norming the curriculum. It usually does take close to a year to draft, 6 months to a year to draft articulation agreements. And once they're in effect, they're typically in effect for 5 years. Unless the curriculum changes on one end or the other.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Hynek, at what point should, I think you probably understand why they're here. They're here because they're not here and getting anything done. So what advice should we give them? Otherwise, they're going to try to put this bill into law, and then I'm going to be coming with student veteran programs that I think basic training should count for credit, and we're going to start legislating what the articulation agreements are. So when's a reasonable time when they should hear?
May I ask a clarifying question?
Yes, please.
I do believe there is an articulation agreement between Anoka Tech and Anoka Hennepin Schools. Is that accurate?
Ms. Lipa?
Chair, it's accurate in some areas. In some areas, they are refusing to, there's a refusal to cooperate.
So there's
Dr.
an
Hynek.
There's an existing articulation agreement in the credits that are technical credits, but there's other areas that you're looking to articulate?
That's correct.
Ms. Lieberman.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Abler.
I know we got here late. There's two more bills up. This has been intended to provoke a discussion. I think you understand why we're here. I sense after this meeting, another discussion will occur. We'll be happy to report back on how that's going and how beneficial the bill will be if we should do it. It sounds like Minskew supports it. They support this work. There are some glitches up there, which are better not discussed publicly because it's kind of a mess. And you have these really great people here and the great people there, and we need to articulate that discussion. And I think there'll be some pressure from the top, which will help to solve our local problem, which Mr. Rukavina points out should work like his area worked. And it's not. So thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that if you would tell us to stop, we will, so you can take the
action. We'll just hold the bill over then.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
House File 2268 held over.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for witness. Yes.
Just as a clarification of that, if we hold the bill over, it's not going to be put into an omnibus bill unless we have further testimony and have further questions answered. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. Ready for
fireworks.
Okay. Yep. On your agenda, we're going to jump down to House File 2507, and we'll have Representative Detmer move his bill here in a second, as soon as he's comfortable. Representative Detmer, do you want to go ahead?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I move House File 2507 to be passed and laid over, possible inclusion. Right. The omnibus bill.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, House File 2507 expands the Safety Officer Survival Educational Grant Program to include grants for graduate education. The current statute only allows this grant to be used for undergraduate education. And what this will do, many times a family, a spouse, a dependent, might already have their undergraduate degree and they would like to use the funds for a graduate degree. So with that, I have a guest testifier here. Pardon?
Is there an amendment?
Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment.
Okay.
The A1 amendment.
Okay. Would you like to move that at this time?
I would like to move the A1 amendment. It's the A1 amendment is to bring the bill in the proper form, proper language, to indicate that it's a graduate degree certification program, and also the date needed to be changed from July 1, 2012 to retroactive to July 1, 2011.
Okay. Any questions about the amendment, the A1 amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
And I have a testifier here, Jennifer Silvera.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jennifer Silvera Lindemer, and my husband, Officer Sean Silvera, gave his life in the line of duty September 6, 2005. I cannot tell you specifically many details about the year following his death. Truthfully, my life became a blur, one where I often wished my life would have ended when his did. My saving grace came in the form of two little people, my son Jordan, who was 20 months old at the time, and my daughter Madeline, who was 5 months old at the time. And for their sake, I vowed that no matter how broken life felt, I would find a way for us to find good again. Writing became my therapy, and in 2009, a memoir about our story of love and loss was published in a book called Believe. And people have asked me if my book is the reason Sean died. I strongly reply that my husband did not die so that I could write a book. I wrote a book so that I could survive his dying. When Sean died, I received a beautiful certificate from the state of Minnesota informing me that I was eligible for an education benefit under the Public Safety Officers Benefit Fund in accordance with Minnesota Statute 299A.45. I tucked it away, unsure if I would ever use it. In the fall of 2011, I started grad school at Bethel University, pursuing a master's in communication. My desire is to use my education to help other widows find hope. I believe the best thing we can do with the pain in our life is to help someone else with the pain in their own life. This fall, I pulled out my educational certificate to research the details, and I talked with an assistant in the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, and she informed me that the educational benefit is limited to those seeking an undergraduate degree. Out of curiosity, I asked how many widows have used the higher education benefit, and her response was, not many. I inquired why the number is so low, and she said many in your situation are married with children, and at the time the line of duty death occurs, they already have their four-year degree, and the benefit really does not apply to them. It made me wonder, as a state, how we can better utilize this educational benefit to better our communities with skilled individuals willing to help people regain life as active contributors to our society. How can we ensure that the official educational certificate with its beautiful, shiny gold emblem that promises hope is put into action, not only to help ourselves, but ultimately to help others? Only 1% of our nation's population under the age of 50 is widowed, and only 7% of our nation's population pursues a master's degree. The statistic is only a fraction when considering those widowed and pursuing higher education in the state of Minnesota. Still, a fraction of people can make a world of difference. Weekly, I receive emails from widows across the nation who have read my book on grief and loss, and they write to share their stories of hurt and desperation. The one common thread I see is the longing to find hope. One woman wrote to me and said, "Thank you for sharing your thoughts in your book. It has helped me so much to know that I am not alone and that I connect with someone who understands. It gave me the revelation that this is the beginning of a new life for me. I am the ember left in the wreckage of a burned down house. I can die out, fade, or I can ignite again. Last year, I happily remarried, and now my saving graces, Jordan and Madeline, along with my husband Stephen and my two bonus daughters, make up a family of six. I am writing my master's thesis on blended families, and I want to give something back to those who are experiencing major life change. I believe that is the goal of the Public Safety Officer Survivor Grant, to help ignite those lives lost in grief to find lives of hope, to help them find good again. I am respectfully asking your committee to please consider changing the Minnesota State Statute 299A.45 to include graduate-level degrees."
Thank you, Jennifer. Representative Detmer, I believe you've heard from the Office of Higher Education regarding your bill.
Yes, yeah, and they support that. They support the bill. And again, you know, many of the people that fall under this legislation, if they already have their undergraduate degree, the money is still there. They would like to use it for their master's degree. And just a point of personal note, if you come up through Forest Lake, there's a section of Interstate 35 that is named after Officer Severo. And that was how many years ago that we performed that. But I think this is good for our families of the officers, their families that have going on in life, and set a new stage for their future.
Teresa Grimes, would you care to comment from the Department of Higher Education?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Tricia Grimes from the Office of Higher Education. The Safety Office Survivor Grant Program serves the children of those who are killed in the line of duty as well as spouses, and the number of recipients has ranged from 6 to 16 in a given year. The average is 12. The appropriation is $100,000 a year. Recent years we have averaged spending $64,000. So we have taken the position that that the additional spending that might be a result of this bill is something we have room for within the existing appropriation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything further, Representative Detmer, regarding the bill?
No. I've every day that I drive back home or coming down here, I see that sign along the freeway, and I finally got to personally meet the family. So, okay. Thank you.
Would you like to renew your motion?
I'd like to
renew
my...
Any questions, first of all? I guess okay. I should ask that first. Otherwise, would you like to renew your motion?
I'd like to renew my motion that House File 2507 be passed and laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Moving to the next bill.
Thank you so much.
Stay right where you are. Representative Detmer, would you like to move your next bill?
Yes, moving on, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2573 be passed and laid over for possible inclusion in the item of this bill. Mr. Chair, House File 2573 is a Office of Higher Education Agency bill for 2012. The Minnesota College Savings Plan technical changes allow account owners to name a trust as a contingent owner. And we have a testifier here, Tricia Grams from the Officer of Higher Education.
Tricia, welcome back.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, for the record, Tricia Grimes from the Office of Higher Education. This is a one-word change. That, we've been advised that there are there's an owner that would like to be able to have the
Just wait a moment till somebody's resharing some data.
Sorry.
We never know where that comes from, but
Representative Detmer was sending out negative vibes.
Is that right? All right. Well, sorry. Now maybe we'll start over.
We have an account owner of one of the Minnesota College Savings Plan accounts who wants to be able to name a trust as a contingent owner in the event of his death. And by changing the word individual to person, elsewhere in statute, person is defined in such a way that it would allow that to happen. So it's a very simple little technical change.
That's what we like. Any questions? Representative Pawlowski, no questions?
I could repeat the previous one, but I don't think I'm going to get an answer.
Yeah, okay. I guess we have no questions, so Representative Detmer, I guess we'll just House File 2573 will be held over for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Yep. Well. And I think we're actually... Do you want to stay around a while, or do you want to adjourn this meeting?
Okay.
We're out of time. Representative Hoppe.
I just have a question about this supplemental bill. When we're going to see a pulled together bill, and how much time we'll have for amendments?
Okay. Mike, is it Monday? Yeah. Monday? She's wondering when we'll see the bill. Okay. I think it'll be the first of next week, Monday, Tuesday, and hopefully give you enough time. Okay. It'll be a skinny little bill. With that, members, we're adjourned.